I think what...
Recording in progress.
I think what I'd like to speak about today is a most unusual day. There have been many. We can go back to the creation and how most unusual that was. Of course, no man was there to deem it unusual or usual. There was a most unusual day on the day that God called Noah to build an ark. And then 120 years, I believe, later, another most unusual day happened. And it rained for the first time. And there was another many unusual days when the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. Those 10 plagues that came, they were most unusual, weren't they? There was a most unusual day when the Lord with a mighty hand caused the sea, the Red Sea, to wall up on either side, and they were delivered. It was a most unusual day when the prophets spoke of the coming Messiah. It was a most unusual day for Zechariah when he was performing his service as a priest, and the angel Gabriel announced himself and said, Elizabeth is going to conceive. Amen. And he said, he questioned him, and he was struck dumb, meaning he couldn't speak. And Elizabeth did conceive. And then it was a most unusual day when Gabriel appeared unto Mary. Think about it. Elizabeth was barren and in her old age. Would you have any... She might have been as old as Sonia or Sister Sheila. No real reason or natural reason that there would be to expect getting pregnant. And then Gabriel appeared unto Mary and said, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee, and thou shalt bring forth a son. And she asked him a question, said, how can this be? A valid question, because she had not known a man in the biblical sense. even though she was espoused to her husband. They had not come together. And think about what that would have done to Joseph. In his mind, we don't have to think about it. We know that what he was going to do was put her away privately. Right. Not willing to make a public example of her, which in itself is a blessing. Because by the law, under the law, he had every right to make her a public example, even by stoning. But he loved her, and he wasn't willing to do that. And he was sleeping, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid to take her into your home and to marry her. For she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. This long-awaited for Messiah that had been prophesied over and over and over again. It's time. Thousands of years he'd been prophesied of. Yea, since the beginning after the fall, he'd been prophesied of. And now is the time. A most unusual day. A most unusual day for Elizabeth and Zechariah. Most unusual day for Mary and for Joseph. But that's not all. I mean, think about Mary. How can I get pregnant seeing I have not known a man? And that's unusual. Then you think about the unusualness of the birth. Caesar Augustus said that all the world should be taxed. Did that mean that all the people that were in China or wherever people were would be taxed? No, just that world. The world of his reign and rule. And so they had to go back to the place of their nativity, and they looked for a place in the inn, and there was not room found for them, and she brought forth a son. Wherever they were feeding animals, that's what a manger is. And she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. The most unusual day, but not out of the really ordinary for poor people. And then that night, there were shepherds feeding and tending their flocks by night. Just like any other day or any other night, going about their business. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appeared unto them and said, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." He says that this shall be a sign for you. And that you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and directed them where he was in Bethlehem. And all of a sudden, now think about yourself, put yourself into their shoes. A Imagine being on a hill and it being very quiet. The only thing that you hear is the lowing of the sheep. You might be cold. The time of the year was pretty chilly, I believe, at night. And you could hear and see the sheep out there. That wasn't unusual. But when the angel appeared, shining and bright, and let's just read that. In chapter 2 of Luke, verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid." That's unusual for the glory of the Lord to shine about you. That's not usual with the world. This is unusual. "And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not." They had reason to fear, but the angel stilled their fears. He said, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." This is Him. This is the Christ, the anointed one of the Lord. The one, the coming Messiah that has been prophesied for all these years. "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now you imagine how unusual that was of a day. That they saw the angel proclaiming the birth of the Messiah, the Christ child, into the world. And all of a sudden, meaning that just appeared, a multitude of the heavenly host coming. And I can kind of imagine what it would have looked like. I don't know who they were, whether there were more angels or what, who they were. But there was a heavenly host with that angel, and they were praising God. What an unusual sight. What a glorious sight.
Right.
And then they left. And it came up, and it says, "And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven." They not only saw them come down, they saw them go back up. "They were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, Let us go, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste." That means they didn't tarry in the field. They weren't worried about the sheep anymore. They were worried about meeting the shepherd. Amen. And so they made haste to see him. And they came where the child was. And they found Mary and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying that which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. It wasn't too much longer before there was another strange and unusual day. Every day with Jesus is an unusual day. Mary experienced them every day. But there was one day recorded that when they went to Jerusalem and they went to show him to the priest, and Simeon looked for redemption in Israel, the consolation of the Messiah. The Lord had told Simeon, there's going to be an unusual day. You're not going to die before you see the Lord's Christ. Can you imagine waiting for that day? You've been told by God that you are not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ. And then Mary and Joseph bring him at 8 days, offer him to the Lord, brought two turtle doves, two young pigeons as an offering, redemption, and for sin. Not his, their own, I guess. As they were commanded to do in the law. And the reason why they brought two turtle doves, because they weren't wealthy enough to have a lamb to offer. He was the lamb. Simeon held Jesus in his arms. He said, Lord, let thy servant now depart in peace. He said, just let me die now, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And do you know, if you haven't seen his salvation, you're not going to die in peace. That's for every child of God. They're ready to die then. It's okay if they've seen the salvation of the Lord and the Lord as their salvation. Unusual day for Simeon, wasn't it? Anna the prophetess was there. It's an unusual day for her. It was an unusual day for Mary because he prophesied to her. He said, maybe it was Zacharias, I can't remember which one, said, a sword. This child is set for the rise and fall again of many in Israel. And that the thoughts of many hearts would be discovered. I didn't get that exactly right. He said, and lo, a sword shall pierce thy own soul also. Unusual day. Then at 12, they went to Jerusalem, making a little pilgrimage, and they left, and they went a day's journey, and they didn't think, or they thought that he was in the company, but he wasn't. Then they searched frantically for him. I know that because I've lost my children in stores and didn't know where they were. They'd run off. They had to search for him for 3 days. You know where they found him? They found him in the temple, disputing with the doctors. And they were, and asking them questions, and they, the doctors of the law, not doctors like medical doctors, doctors like lawyer doctors, and they were amazed at his answers. And Mary says, don't you, it's kind of chided him, don't you know that you were, that we're worried about you? And he looked at them, his parents, and said, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business. That's an unusual day. Oh, that they just thought those were unusual days, though. They just thought they were unusual days. But Mary pondered all those things in her heart so many times that when they came to the marriage at Cana, and they, the governor of the feast came to him and said, they have no wine. And Mary, his mother, looks at him and says, they ran out of wine. Jesus says, what does that matter to me? She expected him to enter into his ministry, I guess, at that time. And he says, woman. He called her woman. What have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And then she turned to the servants and said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's good instructions for us. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And he told them to fill the water pots with water. Nobody knew what had happened. They didn't know where that wine came from, but the servants knew. Mary knew. Unusual day. Turn the water into wine. There was a lot of unusual days, weren't they? When Jesus came and they were, the multitudes had followed him because they recognized him as of the very fountain of mercy, and they were hungry. And the multitudes didn't have anything to eat. Jesus said, "How? What do you have?" And you know the story. Then after that, he fed the 4,000, 5,000, 7,000, however many it was. He did it several times. And afterward, they wanted to make him a king because they recognized that he was that Messiah. Yet they had a wrong view of his kingship. So they wanted to make him king. They wanted to make him a natural king. But I'm going to tell you, the men of the world, I mean of the earth, can't declare him to be the king. In reality, God did that. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, no matter whether you recognize him as that or not. You can't declare, you can declare him to be the king, but you can't set him in that place. He is in that place whether you declare it or not. That was a striking day in contrast to what they expected the Messiah to do. That was a contrast, and he just walked out of their company. There was an unusual day when they were in the boat, right? And Peter walked on the water. Unusual day. It's an unusual day when Lazarus was dead and Jesus tarried for 3 days. Waiting. And he goes and he sees Martha. And Martha says, if you would have only been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. And he says, he'll rise again. She said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. And she witnessed her brother who had been dead for 3 days rise again at the power of the voice of Jesus Christ. Unusual day for them. Unusual day for Lazarus. Wasn't it? Unusual. Unusual days all throughout the life of Christ. And very unusual days when he came and began to speak to the disciples about his death. John chapter 16. He tells them, you're going to be put out of the synagogues. Whosoever killeth you thinks that he is going to do God's service. And he begins to tell them in verse 5, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I've said these things unto you, sorrow filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I'll send him unto you. So Jesus has introduced the idea or the fact that he's going to leave them, and sorrow filled their heart. Wouldn't sorrow fill your heart if the Comforter that you had was telling you he was going away? Wouldn't think about us today. Wouldn't sorrow fill your heart if all this, if God's presence in your life, if our Comforter, you know, see, because he said, I'll send you another Comforter. If our Comforter left and we were spiritless and devoid of the Spirit, wouldn't sorrow fill our hearts? I pray that it would. And Jesus comes and he says in verse 27, for the Father himself loveth you because ye have loved me and have believed that I am come out from God. Jesus just wasn't a good man that was born. He was sent from God into this world. He wasn't just sent from God. He's God manifest in the flesh. He was sent from God. And I say in verse 28, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. That means he descended first and now he's ascending again. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. And then he goes and he has Passover with them. I'm skipping over a lot of stuff. There's a lot of unusual day. You're going to go see a man bearing a pitcher of water. You go get a donkey whereupon never man sat. And you bring them over here. That's strange. Unusual things. There's is some unusual things that are going to happen. And then they... It's so unusual that men would take a good man and call for his death. We get real justice. We think we get real justice when a murderer is put to death. But it's unusual that they would cause and call for the release of a murderer and the murderer of a good man. Or would release a convict and convict a good man. That's unusual. But you know one of the most unusual things there is about this reason why Jesus came into the world. It says, Pilate said, art thou a king then? He said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. And I tell you, that's the reason why he was sent. There's a lot of reasons why he was sent. Number one of them is that he would bear witness to the truth. Another reason that he was sent into the world was for this one particular culminating unusual day that he would hang on a cross and by death would destroy death and by death would bring life. That's unusual. You can't get any more unusual than that. By his poverty, we've been made rich. By his exchange of his righteousness for our filthy rags, we have given him, and he's taken our filthy rags and given us righteousness imputed to us by the holy power and Spirit of God. What an unusual day that is. I can't even express to you how unusual that day was. It is the pivot point of all of human history, greater than the flood, greater than all that. That is the pivot point of human history, is the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. An unusual day that it would be dark as night in the middle of the day from 12 to 3 o'clock. Unusual. Things happened during that darkness that we could not see. That he suffered. God turned his face from him. He trod the winepress alone so that you wouldn't have to tread it at all. Unusual day. He came into the world. People think about the Christmas cards, and they see the little babe lying in a feeding trough. And of course, the feeding trough that's depicted on the thing isn't near as nasty as reality. How unusual that young baby, born to meager and poor parents, would become and was before the King of the world. King of kings, Lord of lords. The royalness of royalty. It's an unusual day for the wise men when they saw that strange star appear. It never appeared before. Oh, there's a lot of unusual days, isn't there? It's an unusual day when he rose again, wasn't it? They couldn't believe it. That it really happened the way that he said it was going to happen. And for joy, they couldn't believe it. And then they saw him appear and to the disciples several times during those 40 days between then and Pentecost. And then finally, 10 days or so before Pentecost, they saw him go up into heaven. And the angels attended that too. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? For he shall return in like manner. Oh, that's going to be an unusual day, isn't it? That's going to be an unusual day when the Lord comes back and the trumpet sounds, that all the world will hear that trumpet. Most folks won't have any idea what's going on. It's going to be something they've never heard before. And there's going to be something happen that they've never seen before. The dead rising up from the graves. There will be shouting. Yea, the Lord Himself shall give a shout. Oh, you talk about shouting, Brother Chuck. That's a loud shout. That's not it's not a cry for help. It's not a shout of pain. Oh, my friend, it's a shout of victory when he comes back. What an unusual day. A strange day. One that we've never seen before. But one that we will see forevermore. The unusual day where there is no night. I can't wait for that, can you? An unusual day. It's going to be an unusual day for us when we can, when we're changed and we no longer know what it's like to be sinful. We no longer have thoughts of prejudice or thoughts of sin or foolish thoughts in our mind, and our ailments are gone, and our speech is perfect, and our voices sing in perfect harmony with the angels in praise to God. What an unusual day, but it'll be an unusual day forever. And the unusual will become perfectly usual every day, all day. I don't say every day because there's only one. Because there's no night. All day. All day. And that day will last eternally. An unusual day. One that we can't fathom right now. One that we can't, or we can only imagine what it'll be like. I don't know, like the song says, I don't know what I'll do. Will I stand before your presence? To my knees, will I fall? Will I shout hallelujah? Or will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I don't know. But I'll tell you, on that day, I'll be like Mary. My soul doth magnify the Lord. But you know what? I'm not waiting for that day. I'm magnifying Him right now. I want to magnify Him every day because He hath hoped or helped His handmaid, His servant. He's helped me. And I'm going to magnify Him. I'm going to magnify Him today. And I pray that I magnify Him more and more and more every day. You know, every day with the Lord is an unusual day. Let's look for the unusual days. And let's be thankful for those unusual days. If you've had one today and the Lord's convicted you to follow Him in righteousness and join this church, you may come as we sing and let your wishes be known. May the Lord help us to be unusual in our worship. Unusual in our conversation. And help us to be a blessing to someone every day. May God bless you is my prayer.